Kenny Cott. Kenny, that's mean. Oh, my goodness. We're ready to start with the Lions, and Kenny just gives us a banger right there. Thanksgiving.
I wasn't ready for Thanksgiving.
Come on, man. Caller Ed, legendary. Thanksgiving.
He may be a number one seed.
We will we'll get to Michigan at some point, but we do have to open with the Lions. I think that's obviously appropriate. Rico, we talked on Friday. You and I were like, guys, be careful here. Like, this is the NFL. I want to try to do this as open-ended as possible.
You mean they didn't put up 70 points?
No, it wasn't Clemson App State. I want to do it this way, to just allow all opinions, positive, negative, or just smart or idiotic, to the table. Your first impressions of your Detroit Lions. Now, again, Rico and I might have a vastly different view of this game, but I want your first impressions of your football team in an overtime thriller that had lots of good and lots of bad, and then maybe the part I'm struggling with, lots of what the fudge? Like, what happened? Like, there were certain things in this game where you're like, wait, how is Cooper Kupp open again? Nakua's dead.
All I kept hearing was TJ on the sideline screaming profanities. How the bleep is he open? When he got the touchdown, I wanted to text TJ and be like, TJ, you were right there. How did he get so wide?
We exchanged how is this happening text last night. Because again, the big thing I would say is, all right, first impressions.
Because Puka Nacua died right there.
Right, gone. And I'm like, the Rams already went into the game with two backup tackles. Okay, Alaric Jackson suspended. Havenstein is hurt. The backup to the backup, this Nutter Butters guy, he dies.
Akuri.
When they brought in AJ Akuri, I went, wait, he's still playing football? I'm like, what, was Jared Horst not available? I go, you got to be kidding me.
It was one of those where I'm in the kitchen and I stop. I'm like, whoa, did they just say his name?
They did. Oh, and better yet, the Rams lost Steven Avila. They're starting left guard. So the point I would make is this. My first impressions are the Lions are so talented. They don't have to play their A game to still win.
Look now, at you. Nice positive spin.
I'm because here's the thing I liked. When overtime happened, it was almost like when I had misbehaved all day, and it's like you wait until you get home and have to talk to your father. Well, overtime came, and here came the Lions. Daddy's home. Mm-hmm. This game's over now. And they just repeatedly bludgeon the Rams, and it kind of recentered itself. But
I'm with you. They went straight bully ball, man ball. We're going to run the same play over and over. You can't stop it. We're just going to keep pushing you back 5-10 yards at a time. The Rams knew what was coming. Mike, you're right. They couldn't stop it. Both teams were gassed. And honestly, as I told Kenny, the MVP of the game may have been the coin. Because when you won the coin toss and you got the ball, because I do think if it goes the other way around, I think Stafford scores on you and this goes the other way. Yeah. Like, it should have never been that close. But as you said, you could, and you look at it last year, this team went out there, they played a Kansas City Chiefs team that didn't have all their parts in order, and they won a game barely, but they won the game and they got better. For me, like I said, I look at that defense. You see it half full. I see it half empty because I'm looking at the defense like, guys, you probably will never have it this easy.
You want the half empty? I'll give you the half empty. The front seven was an embarrassment. Now, I'm willing to forgive a secondary featuring rookies and Carlton Davis in and out of the game. I that's going to take time.
Well, and as I told people on the pregame show, do not bail on the rookies because the rookies have a very tough test in their first three of their first four games.
It's going to be hard.
You're going up against some all pros, so you're going to get beat. But that's okay because you can get better. But you're right. The pressure, like a third string, like what are you doing?
I mean, Aiden did his part. It was really everybody else, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Look, where were the tackles? And again, DJ Reader didn't play. That will help you. But overall, look, I'm giving it a half full perspective only on this, Rico. That's the same league where I watched the Bills be down by 20 and have to rally against a bad Cardinal team. I watched the Bengals clown car against one of the worst teams in the league, the Patriots. Mm-hmm. There were teams that are allegedly good that were simply not ready to play.
It's why I'm so glad that I didn't convince Cookies to do that whole Survivor thing without his Circa. We would have been done.
What would you have done, the Bengals?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's the Patriots.
I did read a stat. 41% of ESPN Survivor picks were the Bengals.
Because I was just going to follow the Bengals and the Panthers all season long. Yeah. Whoever they were playing, that's who you take. But I think the positive that I took from this game, it took a little bit of time. But I think we have the third wide receiver. We could put that argument to rest.
You've heard of Dono. Can I introduce you to J-Mo? J-Mo.
J-Mo showed up. He showed out.
Explosives.
And he was everything we were promised. He was the reason why you moved up in the draft to get him. He had that coming out party the same way Gibbs did against the Raiders last year, where you could just tell, man, this kid is going to be special. So long as he stays injury free, you got something.
Hey, how about Mobile Goff? Yeah. Mobile Goff? It's Mobile Goff season.
Sure.
When he scampered, all I thought of, I just wanted to send a text to Costa, and it was just going to be a middle finger. Like, Mobile Goff.
You know what? All I heard was the vintage Chris Berman rumbling, stumbling, bumbling.
It doesn't have to be pretty.
He's going to, he fell his way to the first down.
But we want to go through positives and negatives, and the ultimate is you win the game. But I want, what were your first impressions of your team? The team that I believe is winning the Super Bowl this year. A team that collectively, I think everybody in town believes they're going to be very good. Look, it's the NFL. If you thought you were going to roll in and clown car every opponent, this is your reality check. Because this Rams team was very shorthanded. Very. And quite frankly, should have beat you. I don't know what they were doing passing on the field goal on a 4th and 6 or whatever it was.
Well, I mean,
Stafford losing his marbles and throwing it right to Kirby Joseph like he didn't see him.
Yeah.
Guys, bottom line, you got to get a little lucky in this league. I think Lions got a little lucky.
Or the fact that you, because of a penalty, you had 1st and goal from the 1 and ended up having to kick a field goal because you got a bunch of penalties. The Rams did. And just kept pushing them back and back. It's like, yeah, that to me, that changed the game right there.
I think my first impression overall is it was good enough. But it won't be good enough as the year goes along. And the process of it is there were plenty of Patriot teams that appeared or won in the Super Bowl who didn't look good in September. The idea is you want to slowly turn the wrench to be airtight by December and playing your best ball. And I'm going to stick with this secondary. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to freak out. I blame the front 7 more than anything else, quite honestly. But I'm going to stick with it. I'm with Rico. Now, at the end of this 5-6 weeks, if we get towards that trade deadline and it looks like that, we're going to have a little bit of a problem. Yeah. But right here, right now, your first impression of your team, 248-539-9797. Excuse me. Sorry about that, everybody. I turn my mic off and you still hear it. It's unbelievable.
That's because I have a mic, too.
I know. I've heard that. David, talk to me. Your first impressions. By the way, congratulations to you.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown.
I was about to say, David, with the newest book, How to Win Games Without Scoring a Touchdown.
Field goal, field goal, field goal. It was just something.
Can you
else.
Pass that book to the Giants?
Well. Yeah, that was a lot there for
just
that
game. Just keep rolling. First impressions of the Lions.
First impression for the Lions is you should have played some preseason games because you look like you were a little bit off there.
Ooh, no, no,
just
no.
Just a little bit.
No, no, no.
When just I a said little, that, Rico. Just a little.
No, when I said that, you don't need to play your starters. What if they get hurt? What if something happens?
Just
they don't
series.
Need to. This offense is so great. They can just step out on the field and hang 100 on people. Guys, it's going to take a little bit of time. Maybe play them a couple series. Nope. No, don't need to. So good. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thanksgiving.
So they looked a little rusty, but the positive, well, yeah, I'll start with the positive. The positive is J-Mo. I mean, he looks to be him, okay? St. Brown wasn't there. Doesn't matter.
How weird was that, by the way?
It was very weird.
Not targeted a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think he had 3 catches for 13 yards until a late reception. It was very weird.
No, yeah. See, I don't think so, Mike. And I kind of talked on the pregame show. look, there's only so many pieces of pie that you could slice up. And he was going to be the odd man out because, okay, you throw to St. Brown, you pick up 7 yards. You throw to J-Mo, you're picking up 27 yards. It's a math thing. He was going to be the one that the numbers got decreased because they're either going to run the ball and play bully ball like they did in overtime, or they took the deep shots. And, hey, congratulations. Goff can't throw the ball deep. Yeah, actually, he can. They just needed to work on their chemistry. But, yeah, he looked
pretty
good.
Wait, we can put that to bed, too? That Jameis is too fast for Jared Goff?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Now, I know what people are going to do, but the interception. There should have been a second interception. You know what? Stafford should have thrown 3 pick sixes.
Correct.
Guys, it's week one of the NFL. Correct. And to Rico's point, and look, I'll own this. I did not want starters to play. But I'm also more forgiving of the month of September when you don't play your starters. This is the Patriot principle. September's extended preseason. You stole this game. Move on to the next. But I'll tell you this. If you're not better defensively next week, yeah, you're right. Tampa Bay will put up 400 yards.
Here, but I'll say this. Here's my negative. And I know Stafford is really good. We've seen him a lot. He played here. He is very well, he plays very well in the pocket. He knows how to maneuver and kind of shift around to not allow a sack so he can get the ball away. He's very good at that. But when you are down so many starters on the offensive line for the Rams, you have to get to the quarterback. And the Lions did not get to the quarterback enough for me.
No,
that was a concern in the offseason.
And look,
for me.
I'm not an Aiden defender. I have said this. I need more from him. And I think the year three is the bump. This is the Miles Garrett bump, meaning go back and look at Garrett's first couple of years. The third year, he turned into an absolute destroyer. I need Aiden to have 15, 16 sacks this year. Now, he needs help. Yeah. I need to see DJ Reader in there before I fully evaluate this.
And that's fair.
Because yes, he is an interior fair. Disruptor.
Because what they did last night to him, and they will do it probably all season, all the help came to his side. Mm-hmm. So he has to either adjust to that, or if DJ Reader comes in the game, yeah, then that probably helps.
And yes, he did get tripped. I saw the play. The
yeah, but again, see, this is where Lion fans have to graduate. You need to stop being the aggrieved. Because you know what a Ram fan will say to you? You went at Stafford's legs late in the game, and it should have been a 15-yard personal foul. Mm-hmm. You had a PI on Cup that wasn't called. Stop. Play the game. You want to win a Super Bowl? You're not going to have the refs hand you one. You need to win in spite of them. The officiating across the league was egregious yesterday. Live with it.
Has it ever been good?
Yes. I never remember as a kid the officiating being like this, ever.
Well, that's because you had coked out LTs.
No, it's because we didn't have points of emphasis and a league. Look, coaches.
It basically was, are you bleeding, son? No. Okay, get up.
But coaches are even saying it. I mean, look at the Ravens game. You had 5 illegal formations called on the Ravens in a first half. Stop it. Come on, guy. Play the game. Yeah. Play the game.
Yeah, I will never understand that, like a false start. You know the snap count.
248-539-9797. Your first impressions of the Lions. All right, so we are getting first impressions. Lions move to 1-0. That's the most important thing. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. And there's a lot of WTF. But welcome to the NFL in week one. Very few teams have a beautiful dress rehearsal. It's really hard to do. So if you look around and you go, all right, let's take the positive out of this. Did your quarterback die like Green Bay? No. Did you take an inexplicable loss like the Bengals? No. Were you playing a bad team and down 17? No. You're playing a playoff team. But the bad, you can't allow a Rams team with Cooper Kupp and no one and 4 O-linemen out to control TOP. Very bizarre. Offensively, just didn't click. Well, guess what? No one played together in the preseason. And I think my biggest first impression, my takeaway is you have so much talent, you don't need to play your best to win. And that's the first time in my life I could say that about the Lions. Yeah. You know who I normally say it about? His team, people. His team. That the Niners can play their B-minus, roll the helmets out on the field, and win.
Bad guy today. Look, the beauty of it was, Your offensive line, the strength of your team went out there and said, we're going to end this thing. Guys, just hop on our backs. We're going to take us to the promised land. Because on top of not playing, you could see that the players were gassed. And now we need to play an extra period of football because the score is tied.
And you have the non-negotiable. Yeah. Line up and smash. How and many teams in football can actually do that?
And that's what, you know what? Forget the QT stuff. Forget Gibbs. Montgomery. Because I was sitting there, I'm like, Don't you dare take him out the game.
Close your eyes.
Right.
Everybody close your eyes for a minute. I want you to mentally picture something and tell me if I'm on drugs. Ready? It's the divisional round of the playoffs. It has been a brutal football game. It's the fourth quarter, and you're trying to earn your way into the NFC title game. And you are up by three, and there's 5:48 left on the clock. You have the ball. You got to do exactly what you did in overtime to earn your right to go to the NFC title game. You have the non-negotiable. So I love how they won that overtime game.
Because to me, that's what you should have did at the end of the game, and you never should have let it got that far. You should have just played ball control, quit the cutesy stuff. Okay, we're trying to – no. That's over. Montgomery, step up to the plate. We haven't used you all game. Your legs should be fresh. We're going to ride you all the way to the end of this game. At least I'll give Campbell credit. Maybe we overthought things. Mistakes were made. Hey, guys, bully ball, same play over and over again.
To the people, shall we? We go to DJ to lead things off on a Monday. I now, did you do the coin toss, or did you escort Trick to the game?
No, dog, but when I tell you, man, I enjoy a heck of a game, man. And real quick, shout out to Rico. This one is at you. My homeboys, Mike, apparently I owe Matt Stafford an apology because my homeboy went to Specs Howard's Rico Beer's class of keeping receipts and iPhone 7s from 15 years ago, and they would not let me lament the fact that Matt Stafford cold. I used to kill that dude, man. That dude cold. So I just want to apologize to Stafford, man. He showed me. He cold.
He was incredible last night considering the situation he was in.
Yeah, I killed that dude. So, nah, let's get to our Lions, man. The first thing that really stood out, I agree with David, as far as the preseason, the no snaps in preseason was obvious. We were rested. The offensive line took a moment to get their cohesiveness and their groove. That was noticeable as the game went on. You know, they were going against rookies. They took time to adjust for that. The other thing is, Mike, I want to point out to you, man, you know football. Let me tell y'all, Chris Collinsworth pointed it out in the second quarter, and I started paying attention from that point forward. Pre-snap, our pass rush was looking good all night, fellas, but pre-snap, Matthew Stafford, we had got tipped off to where our motion was tipping off our play. So he was getting the ball out in 1 to 2 seconds because when they moved that man in motion, if we didn't go, it was zone. Cooper Kupp only averaged 8 yards a catch because Matt Stafford knew what we was in by the pre-snap motion. So it made our defensive line like at a disadvantage. You get what I'm saying?
No, I do, but you have counters to that, which also include press man. It also includes, hey, you muddle the rush, get your hands up, you knock balls down, you know it's coming out quick. DJ, it just wasn't a good game for the front seven overall.
So Mike, I'm going to disagree with you on that because I was watching. I'm going to say more so maybe Aaron Glenn's adjustment because in man-to-man, we were pretty doggone good. I was very impressed with our secondary. It was noticeably better. It was just that pre-snap thing that he was picking us apart in zone. And then lastly, this is what I've been sticking on. I've been calling you for years. I'm sticking with it. I've been hitting Rico with it. Every show on y'all station.
Uh-oh.
We have a superstar tackle. We have the best tackle in football. And when it was money time, Chris Collinsworth pointed it out. And at the end of the game, they pointed out, we ran right behind Highway 58. We said, you know what? We going behind our emotion leader and our best player.
Was that after Collinsworth figured out the overtime rules?
You say what now?
Was that after Collinsworth figured out the rules of overtime?
I don't know, Mike, but I end with this. Tarico even said it, man. At the end, Panay Sewell proves once and for all to me he's our best player. Oh, one more thing, Mike.
Mm.
LaPorta and St. Brown, I think teams, the Bears game and the Packers game last year, teams figured out if you move that safety down and cheat and spy and take away the middle of the field, Jared Goff struggles when you take them away. So that's why his numbers look a little bit bad, too, because teams are starting to take them away in the middle of the field. So he has to adjust to that. I just noticed that, too, last year and this year. The Rams did it last night.
Look,
that's how they
cheated
on that interception. They jumped it.
Yeah, but also, I just believe when you haven't played with your teammates, it's going to get ironed out. No, I don't believe that the simple move of spying a safety or cutting off crossing routes that all of a sudden you, quote, take away players of that ability. Just give it a few weeks. We just got to give it a couple weeks now. They haven't played together. They still had enough to beat a playoff team in week one. All right, turn on Cincinnati radio if they have radio stations.
No,
turn on Cincinnati radio today and see how their debut went.
Oh, not good. Probably right up there with Giant Radio.
No, I don't. Nah. Don't. I know. No, no, I know, but, no, I know what you're doing.
No, but here's
you
the beauty.
You keep your fishing pole over there. I'm not taking that bait.
You will.
God bless it.
Here's the thing, though. The beauty of this game. You may need this for home field. If there's a tiebreaker with the Rams, you beat the Rams. So guess what? They would have to come here instead of you going out to L.A. Not that going out to L.A. is that daunting of a task, but.
Yeah, I was going to say it would just be DJ and all his friends.
No, no. But it's one of those things where, like, if you look at last year, if you beat Seattle, maybe you get a higher seed. So this is one of those games that will help you. You struggle, but you found a way to win. You didn't play your best game. You went to overtime and you got it done.
248-539-9797. David, a couple of ticket texts. We'll get more of the calls as well. We got to balance it all out. Everybody be patient today. Go ahead.
When is a win in the NFL? But that was sloppy. Rams moved up and down the field all game. If not for that Stafford pick in the red zone, we lose. No pass rush against the tackles. We have to clean it up. Lions only won because the Rams were injured to high heaven and the NFL OT rules are terrible. I'm more worried about this team today than I was last week. Ooh. First impression, if one side of the football had to be worse, I'm glad it was the offense. They can fix it. Defense was playing decent all game.
The defense has a lot of room to grow, right? The offense, it's just about snaps together and live fire. The defense, dude, you got rookies.
I see that totally different. I think your offense played okay. They're going to get better. Your defense was going up against second and third stringers on the offensive line of the Rams, and you didn't destroy them. That's problematic to me.
Well, it's also problematic you got cut up in zone cover. Come on, man. It's Cooper Kupp. I get it. But 21 targets, 15 receptions.
And then whoever 15 was, like who is this guy? Like, he just appeared.
Was that Tyler Johnson or is that 18?
Maybe talking about DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus
right?
Robinson, yeah. And then they had Tyler Johnson, the kid who left Minnesota like four years ago. Dude, they have nobody. It's Nacua and Kupp. I got nobody. Higbee's already dead because he blew his ACL out in the playoff game.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. We'll get more to people coming up in a minute. Let's get to the people. Getting your first impressions of your Super Bowl Detroit Lions. We go to Ivory, 97.1. Ivory, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Ivory. What's up?
Yeah, so I'll be real quick. I got three points. You know, one of my biggest points in seeing, like, watching that game is, you know, being that they didn't play in the preseason together, and they technically haven't played in the live game since what? When was that 49ers game? Like, back then? So I think that's a big factor. Also, I think that, you know, defensively, yeah, they have rookies out there. I wouldn't blame the rookies because my biggest point is, you know, it's a concern that hasn't been answered in the fact that, you know, when you don't get to the quarterback like that, especially a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, you're going to get picked apart. And they need to find some way. I know Reader's going to come back, but that needs to be a major focus. They were going to get against second, third, backup of backups. And it was kind of disappointing that they didn't get more into the quarterback did. Also, you know, lastly, like, I don't understand, still don't get St. Brown, whatever. They rely on their scheme a lot. But not drafting a wide receiver high in the draft, let alone at all, that still shocks me. Right? Because they're one injury away from just being in a bad spot at that wide receiver room. So.
Yeah, but Ivory, as you can see, everybody's one injury away. I mean, Puka Nacua goes down. Who the hell are the Rams rolling out of the rack?
But the thing is, somebody stepped up. So we have to wait and see. But yeah, you're right.
Who are you going to draft? I mean, if you want to tell me, fine. You wanted a draft pick in the fourth round instead of Manu, the mystery man from Canada. I'm not mad at you. Hey, the one you should be mad at is the ridiculous Hendon Hooker selection. That could have been Tank Dell. You want to be mad about that. But, like, J-Mo stepping up and Amon-Ra having a more quiet game, I view that as a massive positive. Like, you have someone to pick up the slack.
Right. And you had Amon-Ra having a lesser game and not losing it on the sideline and just saying, you know what, we won. And I don't have to shine all the time. Okay. I don't get paid by the catch. I get paid to be on this team. That's it.
Go to Nick 97.1. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. How are you doing?
Good, Nick. What's up?
Well, very happy. Obviously, 1-0 to start the season. That's the biggest takeaway. But I would say, personally, for me, that game went as expected. Similar to you, Mike, I'm a realist. I understand the NFL is literally hard to win every single week.
Oh, you mean we don't just win by 40 every week, Nick?
No. Like, it's crazy hearing people talk about that. I was listening to you guys on Friday. Your confidence, it's like every week for me in the NFL, my confidence should be no lower than a 4, no higher than a 6, because that's how competitive each week is. But as expected, again, the Rams are a really good team. Both the teams last night know how to win and expect to win every week. So I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be a one-score game. Ultimately, though, the positive, seeing that we came out on top, would be we do have one of the most complete rosters and talent in the NFL. You saw it with J-Mo. You saw it in overtime. Even when we're not playing our A game, we do what good teams do, which is find a way to win. Rico should know that as a 49ers fan as well. And also, I got to give credit to Dan Campbell yesterday. I thought he coached a pretty good game. I only went for it on one fourth down. He converted. Also, that final minute in the fourth quarter, I thought he did a pretty good job managing the clock. The Rams had 3 timeouts. There's the running clock situation with Gibbs. He did a pretty good job managing the game, and coordinators could be better. My other call-out, though, too,
Nick, real quick, I'm going to let you finish. Were you like me wondering, what would Dan Campbell do in overtime had it got to fourth down? Would he take the field goal, or would he just say, screw it, we're going to go for it?
I think in overtime, if it's fourth and short and we're pounding in the red zone like we were close to the 10, within the 10, I think he would have went for it, and I would have probably just backed him on that. You have a chance to beat the team. You're at home. You're there. If it's short, gotcha. Why not? Like, let's go for it. But, Rico, speaking of you, I've got a question for you. Why is it that every week last year, this year, constantly when the Lions come up, we talk about them, you always focus primarily on the doubt and the negatives when it comes to this team? Can you just like be honest with the listeners and tell us that you just don't like the Lions, you want to see us lose every week?
Well, Nick, can you just be honest and you hear what you want to hear? Because I was the one that said J-Mo was going to be all of that, and he was. And I said you're your third receiver.
You bring good points. I'm not saying you're wrong, Rico. I'm not saying you're wrong because you bring up good points.
No, you brought up how the Rams have a revenge game. Right. It was a revenge game, and the last time I checked, it went to overtime.
It did. And I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is you always tend to dwell on throwing doubt before the game in a glass half empty versus a little more balance would be nice like Mike is. That's all I'm saying.
I just brought up two things that
Yeah, two positives for every, like, 9 negatives, basically, if we're being honest here.
We're not, but okay, Nick.
Sure. Anyways, 1-0 would be better than what the 49ers have to say after tonight. So I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to play the Rico game.
Shots fired.
I don't know what happened here. You know what, Lions? You're pretty. I don't know what you want. This is why I don't care. Because no matter what I say, you get callers like Nick. So you know what? F them.
Why are you so angry?
Whoa.
You don't say anything positive. Like, I've sat here and said all of this stuff, and you hear what you want to hear. So, yeah.
Yes, David,
I'm sorry.
Just dismiss him then.
You look poised.
I just dismiss him. I said F him.
Yeah, I don't think that's needed.
What am I supposed to say?
Just dismiss him and say, look, I said positive. I said positive. You're good.
David, because I'm tired of fighting the fight. Okay?
There's no fight.
If I don't say that this is the greatest team and come out here with pom-poms.
Hey, but the 49ers are going to lose tonight.
Heaven forbid I actually say that the team came in here. It was a revenge game for them. They took you to overtime. You won the game. Okay.
All right. Kevin's up next, 97.1. Kev, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike, Rico. Hope you guys are doing well.
Great.
I was at the game last night, so I apologize if my voice is a little cracky. Rico, first of all, that last caller didn't know what he was talking about because you give the Lions – a lot of credit where it's due. But it's a breath of fresh air to be able to have the confidence that they can get it done if they're not being successful through the air and just pound the line when they need to. But it's also, we need to win every game possible because that home field advantage is
everything.
It's critical because they were on the silent count from the minute they took the field with their first drive. And you could see the O-line for the Rams turning their heads, trying to, keep up with what Stafford was doing. It's very rare that you see a quarterback like Stafford have a 300-plus-yard game and be as successful as they were and still come out with a loss.
Yeah, and again, four or five false starts as well.
Well, you know? I think the crowd especially affected them when they got down to the red zone because you're closer to the crowd. It was louder, and that's when Stafford made all the mistakes where, like, how did he not see Kirby standing in the end zone? Like, he threw it right to him.
He just misidentified the coverage.
Oh, that,
seriously.
And that's exactly – I've always had – Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. I was never a really big fan because when it comes down to the crunch time like that, he always makes those sidearm throws that end up right in the defender's arms, and that's exactly what happened. It was right in the end zone. It landed right in Kirby Joseph's arms.
Look, he made one bad mistake. He made a couple bad mistakes he got away with. One branch could have taken to the house. The other branch laid out, tipped it, knocked it down. You can't make late throws to the sideline. Stafford did that twice. He threw a terrible pick. Goff made two bad decisions. It's week one in the NFL. I mean, Kevin, all things considered, I thought Stafford was pretty incredible last night. And luckily, you got pressure on him. And I think it was Aiden. Late in the game, minute to go. And
yeah, when Cup was open.
That's a throw. If he's able to just step into.
Take a little bit off of it. Game's over. That's a first down.
So my point is, all things considered, I can't knock what Stafford did last. I'm just glad the Lions beat him. Because I did not want to have to hear his wife in her podcast.
Did she show up?
No, she did not.
Okay, because I heard at the last second she was going to show up.
She did not get clearance from Trick Trick.
Trick Trick. I was about to say.
No fly zone. It's Rick Ross, Kelly Stafford. Not allowed.
I truly hope that's what happened.
You're
it
out.
Didn't, but I wish.
Well, no, I heard at the last second she was going to, you know, sneak in. I was like, well, why?
No.
No fly zone.
Just why? No tickets available, Kelly. Yeah,
just why?
248-539-9797.
Stafford may have paid Trick Trick to say no.
All right. We will get right back to the phones. And obviously, heavy, heavy Lions day today. Quick TO. It's time for a blitz. I'd like to lead this blitz with breaking news. The touchdown play is back in East Lansing. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Dave.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Congratulations on functionality. Go ahead.
Here's what I'm going to start the college football blitz with. An apology. Because before the season, I was the only one that still supported Deion at Colorado and said that it will work.
Uh-oh.
I am now done with Deion at Colorado. They look bad. Jeez, man. No offensive line. Players yelling at each other. Travis Hunter going right by his coach and then screaming at his teammates.
Yeah,
they're done. I'm done with them.
You see a bunch of individuals. You don't see a team. I don't see where he's building the program. I mean, I think a caller put it best. He's playing daddy ball out there. He's just out there trying to take care of one of his sons. He only has one now. One broke his arm, so he's out for a long time. There's nothing about Colorado that says they're going to win games. They're entertaining.
You know what? You're a racist.
Well.
Let's go with that narrative. You can't critique him as a football coach. You're racist.
Right. No, I'm a Tom, not a racist.
Oh, my bad. Okay, so here's the deal. Rico nailed all of it. There are the three worst offensive lines I've seen in America. And they're all kind of cut and paste O lines. SMU, Oklahoma, and Colorado. If you can't block North Dakota State and Nebraska, you have no hope as you enter the Big 12. And I don't see what their plan is. I really don't.
Well, you mentioned one of those teams. Let's talk about one of those teams. Oklahoma. They enter 27.5-point favorites in this game.
Should have lost.
And they should have lost the game. Jackson Arnold was sacked 3 times for a second straight week. They look bad. He was 19 of 32, 174. At 2.6 yards per carry. They're going to have a rough time in the SEC, I see.
Well, I told you all summer. Yeah. Texas was prepared for the conversion. Oklahoma wasn't. Like Rico said, I mean, Rico tried to warn them. He told them you don't want Spencer Brown. They didn't listen. They're a mess.
Yeah, David, this is a team that they're going to be battling just for respect to be in the middle of the SEC. Probably should have stuck with the Big 12. You would have had a puncher's chance of maybe pulling out some games, but you stepped up to the big boy table, and yeah, this is the best that you have. Good luck.
So let's talk about the big boy table. Oregon is now in the Big 10. Can we talk about them now? We've now seen them 2 straight weeks. They struggled in week 1 against Idaho. Struggled one on a last-second field goal against Boise State. Who are they?
I don't know. I'm scared. I watched the first half of the Boise State game. Forgive me, flying home Saturday. I got tired. I couldn't stay for the second half. I've seen what I need to see to tell you. Again, a lot of cut and paste, a lot of transfer portal. I'm not seeing up front winning at the line of scrimmage the way they should be, specifically on the D-line. And it's very uneven performances. Look, man, they needed a punt return and a kick return to win that game. That can't be what you're doing against Boise State, who is good. Boise might win the Mountain West, might be that what is it now? The group of five. Right. The non-rich people teams, yeah. They may make the playoff, but you're in Outson off a terrible performance. I got nothing. I'm scared.
No, Mike, and this is one where you should be happy. Oregon shows you can't buy wins. You can't buy happiness. You can't just buy players and walk in and win. You have to have a team. You have to have some type of a program. You can't just go out and get a bunch of transfers and expect to win a bunch of games. They look like guys that by the end of the season may get it together, but right now it's like a very awkward first date. Like,
yeah, they're running out of time to figure it out. Yeah. You know, and again, they're at Oregon State this week. And I know, ha, 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 bottom line is Oregon State hates their guts. They'll bring whatever they have. I'm very, very scared with Oregon. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Oklahoma State and Arkansas. They went to two overtimes. Oklahoma State wins 39-31. Was that more Arkansas being decent or Oklahoma State maybe looking past them?
Choice B.
Okay.
Oklahoma State spaced out in the first half, had no control of the football. They were airing it out with Alan Bowman out of nowhere. It made no damn sense.
Yeah. Mike, we talked about it Friday. Every now and then, Oklahoma State, every game just has that one game a year where you're just like, what are you doing?
They space out. Yeah, you're right.
Why are you playing this way? You don't have to. And
why are you doing this to me? But they ended up hitting the over and covering, so great performance. But no, it was more they sleptwalked in the first half. They got it rolling in the second half. Sam Pittman's going to get fired. It's when, not if. But this is where Rico's right. They have these weird performances under Gundy, and they always happen in the non-conference. Always. Last year, dump truck by South Alabama. How?
Who?
Yeah. The Jaguars. Yeah. Put some respect on their name.
So after week one's win against Texas A&M, we thought we knew what Notre Dame was.
Where? Wellness check. Caller Rob in Brighton. Wellness check. I feel like Rob is Andy Dufresne in the sewage pipe right now. How do you go to A&M and win? I knew it was a letdown spot. I was happy to take 28.5. Never in this lifetime or the next would I imagine Thomas Hammack doing the post-game interview winning. Why?
Yeah.
You explain it. And someone check on caller Rob.
I can. I thought, okay, they're going to kick this into gear. Okay, they're toying around with them come halftime. Wait, the score's still. Okay, fourth quarter.
No, now's the time we'll get
fourth
it right.
Fourth quarter, yeah. You know. Wait, final? Did that just say final?
I'm going to tell you what should happen, not what will. Should, not will. Notre Dame shouldn't be allowed in the playoff. You don't play in a conference. You got this candy-ass schedule of yours, and you don't play a conference title game. You lose as a 30-point favorite to some poverty-ridden program from DeKalb. I ain't letting you in my playoff.
Yeah, but you'll beat Florida State, and it'll be like, oh, well, look.
Beating Florida State?
Who are they?
You may as well punch Kenny in the face.
It's a name. College football is about names.
All I'll tell you is, if Notre Dame loses one more game, I'm dying on the hill. They shouldn't be in the playoff.
No, you're right. Because right now.
Better run the table.
No. Right now, even if you run the table, you don't get to play a game in South Bend.
No.
You're on the road. You're in.
That was a disgrace.
But you're in the final four spots.
Well, I started it off with the retake.
The touchdown opinion. Play is back.
Nick Marsh.
I'm going to end Big it with an apology to week. Every listener out there that hurt me. Love on this team, preseason, and that is NC State. I loved and I wanted Grayson McCall, NC State, to be something.
I tried to tell
51
you.
51 points they gave
Hold
up.
On. Ready, Rico? I want to help him like you help your students. David, repeat after me. Iamalieva.
Ely, yep. That, yep.
Just call that man Nico.
David.
Tennessee's good.
I know the feeling. You had them in your playoff thing?
I did.
Iamalieva.
I got Florida State in mind.
Woo!
Iamalieva. Mistakes were made.
Yep. Ely, yep.
Just call that man Nico. You know what you put on the back of his jersey? Bad MF.
He's something, man.
Tennessee's good. I'm actually ready to buy stock in the Volunteer Navy.
I want to, but I can't just yet.
Yamalieva. Yeah, that's right.
Never going to happen out of my mouth.
He's no Davis Warren, but he's pretty good.
Well.
Whoa.
They beat themselves.
Hold on. Can I do this?
They beat themselves.
Addendum to the blitz. What did you make of what Rico just said? The Davis Warren quote after the game. No, wasn't so much Texas as it was we beat ourselves. Huh? What?
We let them win the game.
It's also a river in Egypt. It's a river in Egypt. That's denial.
That was an unbelievable remark.
That's denial, right?
Texas rolled in and just trampled you. And you're hitting it with the, it was more about us than them. What part of it?
Yeah. And if they score on the first touchdown on the first drive.
Oh, it's ugly. Uglier, yeah. I should say.
I mean, you do realize, I would have been like, Davis, they didn't punt the ball to the second half. The punter could have showed up late.
And that's because they stopped playing.
They did. At this point, they were trying to figure out where the parties were.
Woo!
Are we going to stick around for the party, coach?
Where's the frat house?
Right. Yeah, you know.
Dono!
Can we get Arch in the game?
And that Dono is your college football blitz.